Support for GLT's Grow comes from Wendell Niepegan Greenhouses, a huge selection of plants, gardening tools, and lawn and garden advice at Wendell Niepegan's on Fox Creek Road in Bloomington, where you're more than a customer, you're a friend. Details at niepegans.com. This is GLT.
The earwig is one creature that you don't want to set up shop in your yard. I'm Laura Kennedy, and this is GLT's Grow, your source for practical gardening advice from our expert in the field from the Illinois State University School of Biological Sciences. It's Patrick Murphy. Hey there, Murph.
Good day, Laura.
Good day to you. And today on GLT's Grow, we're taking a question from Anne in Bloomington, submitted on our website, wglt.org/grow. She wants to know if we can give her any suggestions on how to prevent earwig damage in her flower garden. For the past several years, she's had more problems with earwig than any other pests, and they often completely destroy small seedlings that she puts out in mid-May. And she thinks they're mostly active from mid-May till right about now, which is after which, you know, she seldom has any trouble with them. So that's okay. Just maybe that's their lifespan or whatever. She says they seem to have a preference for zinnia, petunia, salvia as well, while ignoring like snapdragons and impatiens. And she's tried putting insecticides in the soil, but this seems to have absolutely no effect. There's no mulch, just bare soil, so she's not sure where they're hiding, but they're obviously not far away. She's very frustrated by this. Murph, can you help her?
I can, and I want to thank Anne for the question, and I recognize the name that the because of my affiliation with the University of Illinois Extension Master Gardener Program. And I also recognize the address because it's about a stone throw away from my house.
So you know the situation.
I've had the opportunity to gaze on it from the street, but I haven't actually met Anne there. And
so you know if that's...
I have some of the background, yeah.
If her type of lot and the trees and everything on there would be creating a place where earwigs would thrive.
I think that's the case, and I think I figured it out, but I can offer some information to Anne and everyone that's listening. But I also want to start out by saying the ooh factor on the earwigs is at maximum DEFCON 80, whatever. I mean, this is a yucky insect, in my opinion.
Uh-huh.
Some people find them charming, I'm sure.
Okay.
And I have never met that person.
I don't know what they're drinking.
Yeah, and then, you know, this is the typical insect that has the ability to scare us, because when you expose this insect to the light, it scurries, it runs away, you
it's
know.
It's like the Phantom of the Opera or something.
It's like a roach or a rat, you know. It's like they scurry away. And that's actually kind of an angle we can take on controlling them.
Huh.
So,
well, I'm going to guess Anne has a lot of shade on her lot.
Yeah, not only that, if she lives in a residential area that was developed out of the timber. So they've built very nice homes into a contoured subdivision that has some detention ponds and lots of standing timber. So there's lots of shade, and there's lots of free debris falling from the trees, as it always does.
Yeah.
And it's also blowing in from all the neighbors' yards. And so the shade and all of this organic matter on top of the gardening that Anne and her family have done has provided an unbelievable buffet for these earwigs.
You're listening to GLT's Grow, our weekly gardening show for those who like to get their hands dirty. And this week we're battling earwigs, the insect.
They are an insect that has what appear to be little pinchers on the back, you know, and they use them for fighting other earwigs and for mating.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, the earwig's not all bad, even though they look that way. They kill aphids, and aphids are
so
a nuisance in the garden. But it's all about balance, right? And you can have too many earwigs because there's lots of places for them to hide in your garden.
Uh-huh.
So I think the best thing for Anne and people to do that are dealing with the earwigs is know that trapping and eliminating is really the best way to go.
You trap these?
You trap them, because aside from trapping them, you can try and shine some light. And I'm doing the quote things with my hands, which is useless on the radio.
but it's so game of you to try.
Yeah, right. And, you know, so Anne offered some awesome details in her question, and one is that there's a lot of bare soil. Well, there is bare soil there, but there's also a lot of soil that may have been amended with compost, and it's covered with newspaper and other things to give us some bedding control. And unfortunately, the earwigs are hiding underneath of that.
I gotcha.
So if we had a garden that, it's whether it's in a wooded lot or not, and say you have the mulch in there, or you have grass clippings in there, or you're edging your garden or your landscaping with some kind of brick or a beam or a railroad tie, well, during the day, that's where the earwigs are. They're underneath there.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, if you talk to the pest professionals, like, say, Orkin or Terminix or whatever, and people that specialize in understanding how to defeat insects, they usually offer recommendations to eliminate the forage and the shelter that they have. And that's a challenge to do in the garden, because that means you have to kind of turn your garden up to the sun.
Yeah.
But you have to do that long enough for the ground to dry out and to eliminate that damp, dark hiding space where all of the earwigs run to when it is daylight out. So that's why trapping, I think, is a good idea. And there's two traps that I think are really easy to put together. One is like a cat food can or the empty tuna can, and you push it into the garden so the top of it's level with the ground, and then you can put a little bit of oil, like olive oil, in the bottom of there, or you can even sweeten it up with some bacon grease.
Oh, boy. Because
bacon makes everything better.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And what happens is that the earwigs, because they travel on the ground, there are some that fly, but most of the ones that we are encountering, they're on the ground, and they crawl along and they fall into the cat food or the tuna can with the bacon scented oil, and that is where the party ends, is in there.
And so they can't get out.
That's
once
right.
Once they go in, they can't crawl back out.
They succumb to the oil that's in there, is how that works. Similarly, you can trap them by taking an empty cereal box or a rolled up piece of newspaper or pieces of hose, and literally just lay it out in the garden where you're having problems with the earwigs, but then go out in the morning dutifully and recover it and, you know, throw the earwigs away, throw it in the burn pile, smash them, do whatever you can.
Yeah.
And you're going to have to repeat this for a while to lower the population of the earwigs.
Do you totally not recommend any kind of sprays or anything like that?
Well, there's a place for the use of chemicals, synthetic chemicals in the landscape, and I believe it's after all other efforts have failed.
Okay.
You know, and we've talked about the fruit flies and stuff before, and it's the same active ingredient, spinosad, as the chemical that you could control them with. So, you know, how's that work? How does one decide? Well, you're able to collect a whole bunch of dead ones with the cereal boxes and the cat food cans, but you got this one area that, man, they're still just showing up night after night, and they have their party, they leave the cigarette butts and the beer cans all over the place.
They eat all your Doritos.
And they eat down everything, not just the Doritos, the pretzels, the salvia, everything gets just completely destroyed. That's when you might have a situation where you're going to apply the spinosad, but remember, these insects are active at night, you know, so if they have protection from the sunlight during the day when you're out there applying your bug spray, they're probably going to avoid the bug spray. So you got to reduce that environment, take away the attractiveness of the lodging for the earwigs, and that's the best place to start, really.
Are there particular plants, really quickly, Murph, that earwigs don't like?
I've heard it suggested that, you know, we just talked about marigolds recently. I've heard that, and I've heard some other plants are able to do that. But that takes time, right? So
right.
You can't run out and just plant marigolds and expect the earwigs to disappear. So it's several things in the program combined will be effective.
So get that cat food tin in the ground. And thank you so much for your question, and good luck with the earwigs. Pat in Bloomington next week is going to ask for some advice on her azaleas, which are failing. We would love your question too. If you've got a problem you'd like Murph to take on, go to our website, wglt.org/grow. There's a form there. You just fill it in and send it along to us. You can send us a photo of your problem, too. And it's possible that Murph will pick your question to answer on the air. It's wglt.org/grow.